Dexter Guff is smarter than you, and you can be too. The show is a rarity among podcasts in so far as it doesn't really telegraph to you what it is. It's kind of got elements of a scripted podcast and a comedy podcast and an improvised element. It doesn't sound 100% like any of those things. It sounds like the podcast of a self-help guru who wants to tell you how he's crushing it and how you can crush it. And there's lots of buzzwords. And Dexter Guff is not crushing it. He's a doofus. He has petty insecurities. He's kind of a little bit of a business failure. He's got a vitamin supplement that's causing him some legal issues right now. He turns this yoga class in one of the early episodes into a Q&A on how to get better interest rates on your mortgage, which is a really funny bit. We'll have a clip of that in the interview. He's only a self-help guru if what you need help with is being a bigger asshole. Peter Olding, though, is not an asshole. He's an actor, a voice actor, an improv comic, and he's the voice and one of the brains behind Dexter Guff.
Let's do this.
D, this is going to be fun.
I dare you to listen.
It's time.
E.
On your mental treadmill, what takes priority, your goals or your dreams?
Dexter Guff.
X.
All right. Let me do the Barbara Walters question to sort of get started.
Let's go. I'm going to get some tissues.
Where does Pete Olding end and Dexter Guff begin?
Oh, my goodness. well, I like to think that there's a fair bit of separation between myself and Dex, mostly because Dex is a bit of an asshole at times. So he's a bit of an asshole. And of course, I'm originally Canadian. So there is a huge line in the sand between those two points.
And you're not allowed to be an asshole in Canada, right? It's like,
exactly.
It's in the Constitution or something.
That's exactly it. So I've had to go through this elaborate ruse of playing a character named Dexter Guff just so that I could exercise the asshole part of my personality.
So what is, when I first started listening to the show, it takes a little bit of getting used to, like, what is this? Is this serialized? Is it episodic? Is it scripted? Is it improvised? It's like, is it supposed to feel like that? Did y'all design it to feel like that?
Well, you know, when we originally thought about the show, I work on the show. I created the show with Pat Kelly and Chris Kelly, who are, producers that we work together to create this show with Panoply. And, we had originally thought about satirizing the world of Thought Leader. And we didn't really want to be too obvious with it, maybe. We did want to sort of let it linger out there, maybe even for just a heartbeat. Like, is this a real guy? Is this not a real guy? We wanted to maybe play it a bit drier. Just because for ourselves, maybe we sort of find the comedy a bit more rewarding when it does walk that unusual line, that sort of a bit uncomfortable to know, well, is this possibly a real dude or is this not? And so as a starting off point, that was something that we played with. And our way at approaching most comedy content that we have worked on in the past is through improvisation. It's definitely my background through the Second City, and improvising for years in comedy clubs and small back rooms all over the place. That improvisation is really sort of how we approach a lot of what we do. So in the case of Dexter Guff and the podcast, the sort of minute conversational phrasings and whatnot, that's all improvised. But the actual episode itself has a bit of a beaten out structure. We sort of know some of the points in the episode that we want to get to, but how we get there is improvised. And out of the improvisation, we'll throw things out that then end up becoming plot points that we had never anticipated or expected, which is, just kind of one of the great things about improvising.
You've got a lot of terminology and things you use on the show that was developed specifically for the show, like thought dogs.
Yes.
And tell me about some of those. Like, did you just watch a lot of like TED talks to figure this stuff out? Where did you, I guess, talk a little bit about the terminology and sort of how you came to some of that?
Well, you know, I think that when we had originally, when Panoply had approached us, they were reaching out to us because we had done a video, which was kind of a satirical look at TED Talks, I guess. I mean, it was actually Pat Kelly who was self-narrating sort of the thoughts in his head as someone was doing a TED Talk. And they kind of liked this idea of having some fun in the world of, you know, thought influencers, thinkfluencers, of, you know, self-help gurus. And so sort of in that world, we just came up with this idea of this self-grandizing guy, Dexter Goff, who is – his own life is a bit of a wreck, but he's telling everyone else how to lead every aspect of their life, whether it's business, finance, relationship. Dex has got the fix on all of it. He's – I would say he's a humble brag, except there's nothing humble about him. He's just simply a braggart. He's the guy that stands in front of the Ferrari and, you know, says to camera, you know, work harder, you know. And so for us, it was kind of like having some fun at – maybe taking a run at this world of gurus and you know, these kind of some people who are self-anointed, they simply have just called themselves a self-help guru and off they go. And I sort of think in some level that's a little bit who Dexter Goff is.
And he's not a complete fraud. I mean, he's not delusional. I think you in one episode make a mention of investing $100,000 in something, and it didn't sound like that was his entire life savings. I mean, he's had some success,
yes,
it sounds like.
Definitely. I mean, you know, Dexter is he's certainly on this spectrum of a sort of thinkfluencers, as we adoringly call them. You know, he is successful. You know, he will go and he will have people flocking to him to listen to him give a you know, a talk on the importance of how to be important, or something along those lines. And so he is successful. But I think what happens is that he has a very he has an image of himself that he really wants to portray. And the fun for us in doing this podcast is that we really wanted to sort of show little cracks in the mask of Dexter Goff. So we start out with this guy who is in your face, giving you these, you know, pieces of wisdom that he will call a thought dog, something to munch on, something to chew on, get that thought dog in there, digest it, think about it, let it work its way through you. And so, you know, but over the course of the episode, the person that we find at the end, over the course of the season, the person we find at the end of the season is markedly different than the person we meet at the beginning. And it's this sort of fun game in the episodes of slowly letting bits of Dexter Goff's personal and professional life seep into his episode. It's not really what he wants to have happen. It just sort of seeps in. And so you get to kind of over the course of the season, just find out these fun little cherries and tidbits of Dexter's life that really become what the show is about.
And the episodes seem at the beginning to stand alone, and then you realize the more you listen to it, there's a couple of lines that run through the show, and one of those is Tammy.
Big day for Tammy. Today she started my 7-day cheese cleanse. I'm glad you did, Tammy. I hope it's going well. Obviously, the next 7 days, it's all cheese. It's great for the skin. And also, should you choose to have more children in the future, it's great for lactation. Tammy, in your case, not sure that I'd recommend having more kids, just given your specific situation. But for those that are interested, great for lactation. Okay.
Yeah, Tammy. That's
and
right.
She's Dex never, is... she maybe you hear her in the background a couple of times, but she's more spoken of than an actual character. And I'm sure you executed that on purpose. What was the thinking of having a character who's more spoken of than actually in the show?
Well, you know what? It's funny because for those that haven't heard the show, you know, there's a bit of the show where it's Dexter talking directly to microphone by himself, talking about whatever the theme of the episode is, whatever important bits of wisdom he's going to impart by, you know, giving people his thought release, taking them into the thought palace, giving a thought release. and then of course, there's a featured interview where we have other incredible comedians come on and play other characters, and there's this interview. But getting back to the fact that Dex spends, you know, the first chunk of each episode kind of solo, for myself as an improviser, in the very first episode, we bring up Tammy. And, you know, the interesting thing was there wasn't much discussion that there was going to be a character named Tammy or what she would or wouldn't be. In truth, the actual improvising of that episode, I bring up Tammy because myself, Peter, as an improviser, wants somebody to play off of, wants somebody to react to. And so even though that is an imaginary person, as an improviser, it's somehow easier in my mind to have this person that I am interacting with. And so it wasn't really too much of a thought through device. It's something that naturally, if I am improvising as this character and I'm imagining this world, that I'm sitting in a studio, there's someone on the other side of a glass, and that person in this case is Tammy, and I begin this dialogue. And so it's funny, it really started out organically like that, and then we really decided to map out, well, what's the life of Tammy, and how will she, you know, infiltrate the episodes and in what ways? So it kind of is that marriage of, we had some notion that of some of these elements that we want to bring in, and then that was something where it really is just out of a device of, I'm sitting talking to a microphone by myself. For some reason, it's a little bit easier, or it's a fun device to be able to like have another character that I can play with.
The one of Dexter doing yoga is one of the funniest things I have ever heard on a podcast. How in the world did you come up with this idea of Dexter like taking over this yoga class?
What is the point of quieting the mind? There is no point. And it kind of came to a head. It was at a yoga studio that I frequent, huge hot yoga fan. I can take the heat, drive it up to 111. That's fine. Doesn't do anything to me. My body's just built like that. I sort of have that type of body. So I'm in there. I'm going through the poses. Got a lot on my mind. Going through my daily list. You know, I'm in camel pose and sort of going, I've still got to talk to that app developer. I move into downward dog and I'm just thinking about, oh, right, I got to go and check out that Tesla. I've got the money down and I just wanted to make sure they got the painting right. Kind of mumbling to myself, going through the poses, getting into lion's pose. And all of a sudden, the instructor comes over to me and says, Dexter, shh, quiet, no talking, quiet the mind. And I snapped. I was like, what? Hold on a second. I'm going through a mental list right now. You know, Crystal, the whole reason that I come to yoga is so that I can listen to my mind and come up with strategies about how to best tackle the day.
Yeah, well, so, you know, the episode theme is that, let me just try to remind myself, it's that meditation makes you weak.
Right.
because in many ways, you know, we took this idea of thought leaders or folks that are sort of self-help folks, and we sort of would take what would be common advice and flip it on its ear. So one of them would be, you know, that meditation is useless and it makes you weak, as opposed to most other thought leaders and self-help folks would probably say, hey, meditation's important. Take a moment to just kind of clear your brain. So we kind of always take the flip on it, and then Dex finds some way of making an argument or making a point as to why he is right. And so when we talked about meditation making us weak, we always like to bring in into the episode a personal experience. Dex always tries to lean on a personal experience. And I myself personally, within this last year, started doing yoga with my wife. I don't know, the thought just struck me, you know, that this is a place where Dex would walk into, say, this isn't being done right. Let me show you how a yoga class goes. And it's Dex Guff talking yoga. Like, it's not about quieting the brain. It's about starting a riot in the brain. If you don't, you know, if you're trying to quiet your mind, it means you don't have anything going on upstairs. There's no leads. And so Dex is just going to, he just takes over, jumps in, takes over. And, you know, and he can't help but say that a lot of people just after the class said it was best class I've ever had.
So the Dexter Guff voice is something you're doing more with sort of attitude and the speed that you talk than changing the tone or doing anything like that. What? How do you get into Dexter? Is it just a self-importance, or what? What are you doing to?
Yeah, it kind of is. You know, I mean, I sort of leaned on a couple of, I guess, a couple of voices that I gravitated towards a little bit, like not necessarily tonally, but just kind of in that world of, you know, that Dex is kind of associating himself. There's a lot of folks that are very notable. Like, I think of someone like Gary Vee, I'm not sure if you know of Gary Vee, or if everyone's listening knows of Gary Vee, but he's a
Vaynerchuk. You're talking about?
That's him. Yeah. That's him. And he is, you know, that guy is, he shares an awful lot about his life, but he's pretty confident, pretty certain on his phrasing, pretty clipped guy when he's talking. And that's part of it with Dex. Like I sort of feel that there's a bit of a staccato clip to who Dex is, and that there definitely is a confident certainty in what he's saying. And he's the kind of guy who, no matter what's happening, it's always what he planned. It's always, even though it looks like it's falling apart, that's exactly how he wanted it to go, because he's making a point. So he's sort of that guy that can't exactly take responsibility for ever being wrong, and will always make a way of making it look that he, you know, any blub or flub or blunder is like, you know, it was intentional.
You are developing Dexter Guff as a TV show. How much can you say about that right now?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There's so many. I think a lot of folks in the podcast space have really recognized that, you know, and obviously on the TV side of things have really recognized that podcasts are such an amazing place for television and film development, you know, stories, characters, all of it. And so, you know, we were approached by an incredible TV producer, used to be the head of CISO. And he just thought it's a natural fit for television. And so we're kind of right now at the point of developing how Dex transitions into TV. I mean, Dex knows it's an easy transition. He's always meant to be in front of the camera, no biggie, barely any makeup needed at all. But so we're developing, you know, developing how the show would translate for TV. And I think it is a bit of a natural fit. We sort of have a pocket that we see it going into, and now it's about taking it out to a few networks and getting some response.
And this is with Evan Shapiro, who's an independent producer now.
Yep, that's absolutely right.
Well, it's a really funny show. I've never heard anything quite like it, and it's been great to talk to you.
Scott, thanks, man. I mean, you know, we really, I really appreciate getting the chance to talk to you too, and for us, it really is just a show that we have had a great deal of creative freedom and liberty to play around in, and have had an awful lot of fun, and have had some incredible guests on there, and so we're just kind of thrilled with the response.